So good morning. My name is Renee, and I'm on the teaching team, and I am thrilled to be able to bring the message to you this morning. First thing, I'm going to give you a couple things. So in the back of the church, there are two tables that we've set up, and I want you to be able to take some time at the end of service after ministry to go take a look at the two tables. One of the tables has a bunch of books and devotionals and things that people in my life group have used to connect with Jesus. And so those you just take a picture of, look through them, and say, yeah, I definitely want to order that, and go on Amazon and order it. The other one is a book table, has this book on it. It's called Come Sit With Me. I wrote this book back in 2018 for Restoration Fellowship. I have 30 copies back there. I have 10 more at home. If you want to take one, take one. Okay, so we'll talk about it later, but that's back there too. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us so dearly, that you are faithful to your promises, that no matter what we are going through in our life, you are there beside us. And Lord, we just want to give this time to you right now to look at your word, to look at all the things that you have given us, and to be able to walk daily with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in a series of called Discipleship. And Rory started it a couple weeks ago, and then Lauren shared a little bit last week. And so today, the topic of discipleship is how to be a disciple. So before we can even understand discipleship, we need to define what is a disciple. So back in the day when Jesus was on the earth, if you wanted to follow a rabbi or a teacher, you would follow him. Basically, you would eat what he ate, you would sit where he sat, you would do what he did, and you followed him. You would leave your fishing net, you would leave your tax booth, you would follow him. There was a saying that a disciple, you follow your rabbi so closely that the dust from his sandals is all over you. You become what he is. That is a disciple. And that is what we are looking at today. How to be a disciple. We become what we follow. So a disciple, I have it on your notes. Anya, I didn't bring my notes up, but look at your notes. You've got four pages. On the back is a bicycle. We'll get to that later. But you've got the four pages there. So on the front page, a disciple is someone who follows so closely that they begin to look, think, and live like the one they are following. They sit at the feet of a teacher, and then they get up and they live out exactly, they copy him. So it's not intellectual knowledge as much as it's behavioral. You're going to behave like your teacher. And Jesus gives us this example, or almost like a revelation in Luke 6:40. And I just wanted to show with you, you guys, I brought two of my Bibles. And I have the ESV version and the New Living Translation, and I've got a bunch of other ones at home. I encourage you, grab a couple different translations, because it's always good to have a different view of how the word has been translated. So this one I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, and this is the Bible that I grab when I want to just have a conversational sit-down with Jesus. This is my conversational sit-down. If I want to have a little bit more, a little bit closer translation to the original text, I grab my ESV or my New King James. So just to give you some insights to that. So Luke 6:40, I'm just going to read it up here. Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like a teacher. In other translations, that word student is disciple. So a disciple, they are not greater than their teacher, but the disciple who is fully trained will become like the teacher. So right there, that's the definition of a disciple, one who becomes like the teacher. So we are all disciples of something. As Christians, we follow Jesus Christ, and we say that we are disciples of him, and we are made into his image. And there's a real fancy church word for that. It's called sanctification. And it's really just a fancy church word to be, I'm being made into the image of God. I'm being made into the image of Christ. And that is, it's a transformation. And we are all, the whole world is a disciple of something. We say that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. But can I introduce you to the disciple, to the teacher of the entire world? It's right here. This is the teacher that the world is being discipled by, our screens. Did you know that the average American, and I'm average, spends 7 or more hours on screens a day? And if you don't think that is shaping us and forming us and giving us our worldview and giving us what is right and what is wrong, how to live and influence us, this is our teacher most. And I'm going to challenge us today because our screens shape us. And I'm going to challenge us, are we allowing this to shape us more than Jesus? So the screen is a teacher. What are we learning on this? So social media. Oh, did you know, if you hang on social media a lot, that there's an algorithm, it gets to know you. It knows your likes, it knows your dislikes, it knows what you hang on longer than others, and it begins to feed you what you want. So social media teaches us to compare, perform, and to covet. News, well, I only look at the news. News teaches us our worldview. It teaches us to fear, and it teaches us to divide, division. Entertainment, it teaches us to be consumers, to drift, and to compromise. Well, all I do is I just play games on it. I have a game. My husband laughs at me. It's little birds. I love birds. And I play a little bird game on my phone where you have to get all the little birds the same color on the branch and they fly away. And so our gaming screen, it teaches us reward system. It teaches us risk tolerance. I only play ones that I win. And the hard part is that if you get into games that are where you're shooting and killing and maiming people, it desensitizes you. And so these are things that our gaming system teaches us. Our work screen. Well, I only work on it. What does that teach me? It teaches us productivity, email anxiety. Can y'all relate to that one? It also teaches us that our worth is our output. And all of that, you guys, we carry with us on our phone. I can get to all of those things on my phone. Am I allowing this to disciple me? And that is the question that we ask today. Romans, what does Paul say about this? He didn't have phones back then, but they had things that were conforming and transforming the society at that time. So in Romans 12:2, and if you've been a believer long enough, you know this probably by heart. Romans 12:2. And this is from the ESV. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Paul, he would be here today, standing up here saying, be transformed. Don't be conformed by the world. And so much of the world that conforms us is through our screens. So if somewhere, it's a question I want you to really think about and to answer honestly in your heart. If someone were to look at a log of your week, and you can actually look at this on your phone, how many hours you spend on everything on your phone. If someone were to look at a log or a spreadsheet of what you consume, who would they say you're a disciple of? Let's take a look at the attitude of a disciple. And this is a true disciple. And I'm going to turn to this one. And you can to Philippians 3, if you have your device on you, grab your phone. Philippians 3, 7 Philippians 3, 7 to 11. So Philippians 3, 7 to 11. And I want you to get to it, whether it's on your phone or in the Bible in front of you. Philippians 3, 7 to 11. So what's going on with this? Right before this, Paul, who is a Pharisee, he is given his list of all his qualifications and his credentials. It's like the who's who list in Jerusalem. And he is listing it all. So I want to show you something. So Pharisees, back in the day, what was the big deal about Pharisees? Let me turn this to Old New Testament. Okay. This is hard with the phone. Okay. Do you see this much of the Bible? Old Testament, Pharisees memorized the law, the Torah. They memorized the prophets, major and minor. They memorized Psalms. They memorized Proverbs. Basically, just a few books that weren't memorized from that much, word by word, memorized. I can do the books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, you know, I can do that, but to say I've memorized that, no. So Paul just gets done saying all of his qualifications as a Pharisee. And this is what he says in Philippians 3, 7 to 11. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. That is the heart of a disciple. All these things, I would give it all up just for the privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. There's a song, I'm going to try and sing it here, that this scripture verse is based on. And I'm going to close my eyes so I don't have to look at you guys. But it's, oh, I want to know you more. Deep within my soul, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you. To feel your heart and know your mind. Looking in your eyes stirs up within me cries that say, I want to know you, and I would give my final breath to know you in your death and resurrection. Oh, I want to know you more. That is the heart of a disciple, to give everything up, to know you, to get to know you. So, what I'm going to do this morning, how do we do this? We understand, okay, we want to be a disciple. We want to be sanctified. We want to be transformed. How do I move from the world conforming me into God transforming me? How do I do that? How do I do this disciple thing? So I want to do an analogy. So an analogy is just taking something we know, bicycle, and something that maybe is kind of vague or kind of unfamiliar, discipleship. And so I'm going to use a bicycle to explain discipleship. And we're going to do all sorts of fun, sticking signs on and all sorts of things. So we look at this bike, and we see all the parts. So we've got the frame and the back wheel, the front wheel, the handlebars, the basket, the chain, the seat, all the parts of a bicycle, the pedals. And we're going to use all of these parts to understand what discipleship is and how to be a disciple. So we start out with the frame. All of us have the chance of riding a bicycle, being a disciple, but it begins with a frame. If you don't have a frame, all you have are pieces of a bicycle. You need the frame that holds it all together. So what is the frame in our discipleship walk. The frame is your identity in Christ. It is your foundation. So all of us are given the opportunity to have a frame. All of us are given the opportunity to be in Christ and have an identity. We know that from John 3:16, which I think most of the world even knows it because it's thrown up on football stadiums. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So we have the opportunity of being given a frame. This is nothing that we earn. We don't earn our frame. It is a gift that Christ gives us when we become a Christian. And today, I just want to encourage anyone today, if you don't have your frame, we want to give you that opportunity today to receive your frame, to receive a salvation through Jesus Christ. And at the end of the service, if you've listened to all these things about being a disciple, we want to give you that opportunity. If you haven't received your frame, your identity in Christ, we want to give you that opportunity because that's where discipleship starts, is with us of having an understanding of who we are in Christ. He calls you his beloved. He calls you his child. And it's as simple as, Lord, I admit, I don't have this all together, and I need you. And it's that simple. And he gives you your frame. He gives you your identity. How do we know this? Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and verse 21. And I'm going to grab this one out of my ESV. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and verse 21. So verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So right there, if you are in Christ, he's given you your identity. He's given you that frame. And then verse 21, for our sake, he, that's God the Father, made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, he was perfect, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. So that's just a showing in our, you know, in Scripture that to get that frame, to get that identity in Christ, it's a gift that we receive through Jesus Christ. So we're not, here's something, is that we're not trying to ride and do all the right things to get that frame. It's a gift that he gives us. Now, what's one of the most powerful or most important things on a bicycle? What do you need to make it to go forward? Back wheel. All right, back wheel. The back wheel is all of your disciplines, and it's your power. You need your back wheel, because that's your power. So what is the power in our discipleship? It's all the things that you think about when someone says they're working on being a disciple. And you have a list in your notes, and I'm just going to read through them. Okay. It says, prayer, fasting, Bible study, Bible memorization, solitude, silence, meditation, journaling, fellowship, community, confession, Sabbath, accountability, and praise. And you can be writing this on your little bike diagram if you want to. It's also written in your notes. Those are all the things. When we think about being a disciple, those are the things we think about, right? It's I'm memorizing Bible, and I'm in my life group, and I'm attending church, and I'm all the things of being a disciple. Here's the risk of all those things. If that's all I'm focusing on, this wheel gets really big. And I can't steer the thing because that back wheel is massive. That's what happened with the Sadducees and Pharisees, right? That back wheel, they knew the Torah, They knew the prophets. They knew all of the Psalms and the Proverbs, and they had all this knowledge. They had this huge back wheel, but they didn't have a front wheel. And our front wheel, let me see if I got scriptures here. I do. Let's, before we go to the front wheel, let's do the back wheel. 1 Timothy, did I do that one? Nope. 1 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. 1 Timothy 4, 7 to 8 in the New Living Translation. There we go. 4, 7 to 8. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. So Timothy there, Paul is talking to Timothy saying, don't waste your time just focusing on all of this stuff, right? Train yourself for godliness. And so our back wheel, our power, we need it. We need all these disciplines, but we need a front wheel that's the same size. And our front wheel is intimacy with Jesus. If you don't have that, think of the scribes and the Pharisees. All they had was the back wheel. They didn't have anything in the front wheel. Okay, I don't know if that's going to work. We're going to try. Intimacy with Jesus is our front wheel. We have to have that in order to balance out our back wheel. We have all these things. We've done all this discipline. We've done all the things to do, our to-do list, and we're checking them all off. But we've got to have the intimacy with Jesus. And that's where, if you guys get a chance, grab one of these. It's that invitation, come sit with me. And it's Jesus saying, come sit with me. Come get to know me. Come have intimacy with me. When we look at the back wheel compared to the front wheel, which one did Martha focus on? The back wheel, and Mary was on the front wheel. We need both, right? Mary and Martha are a great example of getting connection with both of them. We need to have all our disciplines, but we need to have that intimacy with Jesus. We need both. All the disciplines, but an intimacy to balance it out. We find in John 15, 4 through 5, what Jesus says. I'm going to read this one out of my New Living as well. John 15, 4 through 5. And Jesus says to them, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus there is just saying, guys, you've got to remain in me. You've got to hang with me. You've got to know me, because then you're going to be able to bear much fruit. When we read Psalm 27:4, I think this is the heart of a disciple. It says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. That's the heart of David. If you ever study David and read the Psalms, his heart cries to be in the presence of the Lord. And he hungered for that I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and dwell in his presence. And so that is our front wheel, intimacy with Jesus. Okay, we need to be able to steer this thing. So let's take a look at our handlebars. Our handlebars. What could this be? Well, this is a thing that you grab onto and grip with your entire being when you're going through valleys and bumps and potholes. I was on a bike ride in Phoenix with my e-bike with Dan, and most Phoenix, they have great bike trails. And it was all paved. Well, there was this one area that was completely ripped up. And it had potholes, it had rocks. And I hit that thing, I don't know, I was going way too fast. And I hit that with my e-bike, and I about lost it. Well, guess what I was gripping onto with everything in me? The handlebars. What are the handlebars? What do we grip onto? What do we hang onto tighter than anything when we're going through the things in life? You better be hanging on to that word of God. You better know it. You better memorize it. You better study it, because that is what we hold on to when life gets hard. By the way, this is a bicycle that is free to anyone that needs a bicycle. Talk to me afterwards. So, handlebars. Side note, it's our sweet little gal that lives in our house with us, and she's like, she's this tall, and she can't ride it. So, but our handlebars, they are the word of God. The word of God is our correction. When we're going through potholes and going up and down and through the things in life, we need to be able to grab onto the word of God, and it steers us and gives us direction. And so the word of God is our direction. It also steadies our grip and it corrects our course. So what do we know about the word of God? And I've given you guys in your notes, there are so many scriptures that you can look up underneath each of these. I'm just touching on one or two for each of them. But the handlebar, the word of God, we see in Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And then I want to read this one out of Joshua 1, 5 through 9. Go ahead and turn in your Bible or grab it on your phone. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, Joshua 1, 5 through 9. So this is what we know in this story is that Moses is gone and Joshua has taken over. And this is what the Lord says to Joshua as he's taking over this huge company of millions of Israelites as they're continuing to travel through the wilderness. What does God say to Joshua? He says to him, Joshua 1, 5 through 9, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful. Now, this is the part I wanted us to focus on. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There are so many scriptures in the Word that tells us, know the word. Meditate on the word. It will give you direction. You will be successful. We need those handlebars. We need to be gripping onto that. And so my question to you is, how tight is your grip right now? How tight are you hanging onto that handlebar as you're on your ride, on your journey? Do you know it? Do you study it? Is it something that you go to when you hit the bumps and the potholes and you're climbing up the hill? Know the word. Next, we need to sit on something, because if all we're doing is standing, we're going to get pretty exhausted. So what is the seat? What do we need to have our posture? The fear of the Lord. Our posture before the Lord is a reverence and a fear that we know there is someone a whole lot bigger and more wise than us with us on this bicycle, and that is our Lord. And so the fear of the Lord is the seat. It represents reverence and awe. And we read that in Proverbs 14, 26 through 27, and I'm just going to, instead of turning to it, I'm just going to put it up here. The fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. And so when we are seated in the fear of the Lord, when our posture is before him in reverence and awe, we have, I love that promise there, is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. And so when we have that reverence, we know that we will have a fountain of life, and that he will be directing our steps or our ride. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So we know that when we rest in God's authority, even when the road gets hard, he is in control. All right, our basket. I love this cute basket. The basket is a life of gratitude. So the basket, guys, this is the thing that everybody sees in our life. They see what's in our basket. They may look at the bike and go, cool bike, but what's in the basket, right? What is in our basket? It's a life of gratitude. When we have a life of gratitude, the things that are in our basket are joy and peace and love. When we have a life of gratitude, the things that we bring into every relationship are beautiful, prosperous things. Remember the scripture that we read in John? He said that apart from me, you can't bear fruit. And so the fruit of what we bear, fear Lord, no, next one, Neil, John 15:5, where it says that I'm the fruit. If you remain in me, you're going to produce much fruit. And so a life of gratitude and remaining in the Lord is going to give us a beautiful basket full of fruit that we share with those around us. All right, two more. The chain. Okay, all of this is great, but if we don't have a chain, this thing's going nowhere, right? And what the chain represents is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, Christ did not leave us with just a book of instructions. He didn't just leave us with this and say, just do it. He gave us the Holy Spirit to connect all of these things together. And so the Holy Spirit is our connection that connects all of the other parts. I'm running out of space here. So the Holy Spirit, if you have a beautiful bike, all it is going to be a pretty bike in your garage if you don't have the chain. You're not going anywhere. Same thing with our walk with the Lord as a disciple. We rely on the Holy Spirit to connect all of the things in our life for us to be able to be fruitful and to minister and to be healthy disciples of the Lord is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know that from Acts 1:8, where it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So Christ did not leave us all alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit to connect all of this in our life, to be a disciple. He knew that we could be weak. He knew the chain would sometimes get a little loose. We have the Holy Spirit to connect us. And last one, you guys, which I think I'm out of space. It's our petals. And there's two. I don't know, can you guys see that? So two petals, obedience and faith. Every other part of the bicycle was given to you or connected to you. So I'm going to just read this here so I don't miss it. The frame is your identity in Christ. That was a gift. When you become a Christian, Christ says, you're mine. That's your identity. You're mine and I'm yours. So that is a gift. The Holy Spirit, the chain, is given to us as a gift. The Word of God, it's available, our handlebars. We just need to pick it up and read it and know it. The pedals, you have to do the work on these. You have to push it. And you have to have faith and obedience. And this is the thing that Rory even said today. It's our yes. The pedals are our yes. Yes, Lord, I will obey. Yes, Lord, I will have faith. We feel the work of the pedals the most when we're going uphill, right? Because that's when we're pushing. And so it's our yes. James 2:17, 14 to 26 is what I want you guys, I'm encouraging you to read the whole part, but we're just going to do just James 2:17. Faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So we need faith, we need obedience, we need both pedals to be working. So what do you think of your bicycle? These are all the parts of being a disciple. How's your bike? How's your back wheel? How's your front wheel? Examine your bike. What do you think? Yeah, I mean, it's a great way to think about discipleship because you see there's so many parts to discipleship. It's not just all the stuff of the back wheel. It's an intimacy. It's knowing the word. It's sitting in a posture of reverence and awe in front of the Lord. It's making sure that the Holy Spirit is connecting it all in our life. And it's our yes, and it's our obedience. All of this is part of our walk. All of it is a part of our discipleship. So I'm just going to read this a little bit. We have a frame, our identity in Christ, a back wheel, the disciples that power us forward, the front wheel, intimacy with Jesus that steers us, handlebars, the word of God that keeps our hands connected to the steering, a seat, the fear of the Lord that keeps us humble and positioned correctly, a basket, the gratitude that tells everyone around us what we carry, a chain, the Holy Spirit connecting it all together, the pedals, our yes of obedience and faith. So a disciple is someone who gets on the right bike every single day and chooses on purpose whose road they're going to ride on. They seek to spend time with their teacher every single day. Romans 12:1 through 2 says, let us run or let us ride with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. I just wanted to invite us, Mark, if you want to come up, take a look at your bicycle. Take a look at your discipleship. What's really going well? What's really strong in your discipleship journey? What are areas that you need to maybe work on? Or come and, you know, come before the Lord and say, God, I need help in this area of my discipleship. Which wheel in your life is maybe flat right now? How tight are you holding onto those handlebars? Are you in the Word every day? Are you sitting in the fear of the Lord? Or are you standing on the pedals trying to do it yourself? Ooh, ouch. What's filling your basket? If I were taking a look at your basket, what's in there? What fruit are you producing in your life? Is the Lord producing through you, I should say? Whose disciple are you becoming? And mostly what I want to, as the ministry team can come forward to, if you have no idea what in the world I'm even talking about up here, if you're like going, I don't get this at all, and I definitely don't have that frame, that identity in Christ, we want to just make that opportunity for you this morning. If you say, you know what, I want to understand all this, and I want to have that identity, that first thing that you talked about, that identity in Christ, that foundation, we want to open up the altar to you, open up the space up here this morning to say, I want to understand what in the world Renee is even talking about with that identity in Christ. And we invite you to come forward and talk to one of the people that are going to be up here. If you're saying, you know what, I want to grow in one of the other areas this morning, and I want to commit to that with someone, we want to encourage that as well. If you're saying, I need to work on my back wheel more, or I need to work on my front wheel more, make it a choice today and a decision to say, I want to choose today, and I'm going to come forward, and I'm going to commit to one of the ones up here to say, this is what I want to work on. Will you pray with me to work on that this morning so that we are working on all the parts of discipleship? How to be a disciple? It's all of this. So let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to have Rory grab the mic here.